Dear Lord, we come before you once again with thanksgiving and with praise, thanking you, Lord God, for yet another time, chance, and opportunity just to lift up and to magnify your holy name. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the use and activities of our limbs. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us under your protective care and guidance. Thank you and praise your Heavenly Father for just showing forth your power and for showing forth your might in our life. Thank you, Lord God, most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, our King. Thank and praise your Heavenly Father that we are saved today. Hallelujah, because of the shedding of the blood. Thank you, Lord God, that we're able, Lord God, oh Lord God, to walk in liberty. Oh Lord God, and not be bound by the enemy. Lord God, we refuse to bow down to the enemy and his devices. We refuse to bow down to the will of the enemy. We declare in the midst of sorrow that we shall have joy. We declare in the midst of confusion that we shall have peace. We declare in the midst of despair that we shall yet praise you. In the midst of uncertainty, we shall have hope, because weeping may endure for a night, and joy comes in the morning, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord God, we shall yet praise you, oh God, because you have been nothing but good. Oh Lord God, I magnify your holy name on today, Lord God, and give your name the glory. Oh Lord God, and we shall not fear what man shall do unto us, because God, you are our help. And Lord God, my prayers are with, Lord God, all people on today, according to every family member represented. Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would move in a mighty way. Somebody's heart is hurting. Somebody's heart, Lord God, is grieving. Lord God, I'm praying, dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen your people in such a time as this, Lord God. I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to remember those souls in Ukraine. Remember those mothers who lost their children. Lord God, remember those husbands and those wives, Lord God, who are crying. Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, I know that you are able, Lord God, to come against, oh God, Roshata, the enemy, Haroshesika Mahaya, and all of his devices. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, that you would be their help in the time of trouble. Lord God, their peace in the midst of this storm. Oh Lord God, bring them out on victory side, Lord God. Keep them covered in your blood, Lord Jesus. Shield and protect those in harm's way, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Come against those Russian armies, Lord God. I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you will rebuke and bind, Lord God, all works of evil. Lord God, bring them to nothing, oh God. I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you will lift up a standard, Lord God, against them, Lord God. Lord God, curse the very root of evil. Let nothing that they do from this time forth prosper. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, oh Lord God, that you would be in the midst. Lord God, I'm trusting and I'm depending upon you, Lord God, to bring them through this. I'm trusting and depending on you, Lord God, to bring an end to this. I'm trusting and depending on you, Lord God, to help these poor souls, Lord God, in the midst of this mayhem and murderous demon. Lord God, roshe ke karo shanda mahaya e karo shisi tiriranda maha. Hey God, hallelujah. There's nobody greater than you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I know, Lord God, hallelujah, Jesus, that there is victory on the other side. And Lord God, we can trust and we can depend on your holy name. And know, dear Lord God, hallelujah, Lord God, that everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Help us to look above all that we see. Hallelujah. And trust in your sovereignty. Trust in your ability. And trust in your might. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Knowing, dear Lord God, that you will not be defeated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Just so good. Amen. Praise God to be here another day and to be able to rejoice in the God and rock of my salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's kind of difficult, you know, to get past all the evil and the works of darkness and the hurting people. And it comes to a point sometimes where you just don't want to see it anymore. Amen. But I say when you are a prayer warrior, amen, you have to keep watching whether you want to see it or not, because you have to know what to pray for. Amen. And most of all, we have to seek God concerning how, amen, we should pray. Amen. And we just have to keep trusting in the name of the Lord and trusting, amen, that in the end, amen, good will prevail over evil. Amen. Glory to God. At that, I'm going to, amen, move into our lesson on today. And today, amen, the lesson is in a time of war. We must have the right strategy, and the aim is to exalt the name of the Lord and also to point to the fact that he is the only one who can deliver us. Amen. So battles are typically won as a result of knowing how to strategize or outsmart the opposition. Even if an opponent does not have access to advanced weapons or heavy artillery, a well thought out strategic plan will prove to be more effective in war against an enemy with the best military capabilities. When countries send their armies to engage in combat, sometimes they are overconfident that they will win because they have a clear advantage. In view of the continuing Russian-Ukraine war, it is evident that Russia has an advantage because of their use of long-range missiles, while Ukraine appears to be grossly deficient in comparison. Consider with me in the first place that even if an opponent enters into battle under advantageous conditions, it does not mean that the outcome will be in their favor. Consider with me in the second place that it is a possibility for the underdog to defeat their opponent if they have the right strategy. In studying the history of wars that took place in biblical times and throughout modern age, we find that the commander-in-chief played an essential role in leading their troops into victory. Because of their experience in combat, they were able to plan tactical maneuvers that contributed to the success of its military operations. If we consider Alexander the Great, who was a Macedonian king, he goes down in history as a brilliant conqueror that overthrew multiple empires. In modern day terminology, he shocked the world and left a mark on the civilized world as almost no other man has done. Historians note that he began to rule as king of Macedonia at the age of 20, and by the age of 30, he had created one of the largest empires of the ancient world, stretching from Greece to northwestern India. He died at the age of 33, and in his short reign, he conquered Anatolia, Syria, Phoenicia, Judea, Gaza, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Media Persia, and Bactria. He did, however, fail to complete his conquest to India. Historians note that when Alexander drove the army eastward towards the Hindu Kush, he and his army for the first time encountered armored elephants, which the Brahmanic people used in war. The elephants terrified their horses, and even seasoned veterans were shaken by it. And at that point, they adamantly refused to go any further because they were exhausted in body and spirit. Alexander, being a conqueror, was deeply angered and yet determined, but since his army mutinied, he was obliged to retreat. Despite his inability to complete his last conquest, he is yet hailed as a military genius and expert strategist. Consider with me that our God has a flawless record. He has never lost a battle, and at no time did he ever retreat or was unable to defeat any opponent, that was against him. His ability to strategize supersedes Alexander, Hannibal, Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Winston Churchill, Robert E. Lee, George S. Patton, and all of the military greats known to man. In reality, he is matchless in power, and there is no worthy opponent that could ever defeat him in battle. When the war broke out in heaven, why do you think God did not even bother to engage in battle with Satan? It would not have been an even playing field, so he decided to pit angel against angel. That is why he sent Michael the archangel and captain of the host of the Lord to deal with it. And after all was said and done, Satan was still no match for the Lord's army. The moral to the story is that an army empowered by Satan is no match against an army that is empowered by God. With God as a commander in chief, we can therefore be confident because we have a clear advantage no matter the circumstance. The Lord is saying to the children that he vowed to protect, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn." As he declared by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59:19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You must know in whom you serve and stand on what you believe. It's not enough just to say that I believe that there is a God. You must be resolute in your belief that he is the only one that you can depend on. When you find yourself in a dilemma, you don't have to look to the left and you don't have to look to the right. All you have to do is look up. In reading the prayers and the declarations of David in the book of Psalms, we find that he was resolute and assured in what he believed. We hear him say in Psalms 121, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." In Psalms 46, he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." In Psalms 27, he says, the Lord is my the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. In Psalm 68, he said, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also which hate him flee from before him. When you acknowledge your frailties and recognize his greatness, he will rise to the occasion and will not disappoint. The Lord has more power in the tip of his finger than all the weapons of mass destruction manufactured by man. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, he gives us to know the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He said in Isaiah 40, verses 15 and 17, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and it's counted as the small dust of the balance. All nations before him are nothing, and they are counted less than nothing and vanity. To those who are listening, amen, and have been listening for the past couple of weeks, it is important for you to understand what the Lord is trying to accomplish. The Lord let me know that in this time of trouble, many people have forgotten him. As for the people of God, he is trying to keep you fortified and build you up in your most holy faith. Each day brings sorrow upon sorrow, and some people are ready to give up, and some people have reached a point where they are spiritually, mentally, and emotionally exalted, that they just don't want to go on. But the word of the Lord lets us know in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 and 31, amen, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have might, he have no might, he increaseth strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. People of God, don't stop praying. The Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He will hear your cry. The Lord has promised and his word is true. So don't stop praying. He will answer you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In regards to Brother David, why do you think he was so resolute and stood firm on God's promises? In the book of 1 Samuel, it shares with us some of his testimonies that transpired in his youth. In chapter 17 and 18, it tells us of David's fearless and courageous act in standing up to Goliath of Gath, whose height was over 9 feet. The Philistines had gathered together their armies to battle at Succoth, which was Judah's territory. And King Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. There went out of the camp of the Philistines a champion by the name of Goliath, and he defied Israel's army. He challenged Saul to choose a man to fight him and said, if he be able to fight and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This provokes a question. If you are a soldier in the army of the Lord, why should you be afraid? For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Goliath's campaign against Israel continued 40 days, and every morning and evening he taunted and insulted them, demanding a challenge. While all of this was going on, Jesse, the father of David, sent him to take food to his brothers who were among Saul's army men. But this was a move that was not motivated by man. God's providence brought David to the battlefield. After witnessing all the men of Israel flee from Goliath out of fear, he asked, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David could not join the army because he was underaged. According to what is written in the book of Numbers, chapter 1 and 3, all able-bodied men from 20 years old and upward could be called into service in a time of war. However, David went to King Saul and said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So then David shared two instances with Saul to prove that he was able to bring down this giant. He spoke of how he kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. David said, "I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him and slew him." He said, "Thy servant slew the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defied the armies of the living God." Now, for the sake of clarification, David did not glory in himself, but he attributed these deliverances to the strength and power of God. David said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine." After such a compelling testimony, Saul dissuaded him no further. He said, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon David's head, armed him with a coat of mail, and gave him a sword. But David was weighted down with his heavy armor, and he was not accustomed to wearing them. And he said to Saul, I cannot go with these things." So he took them off. David's weapon of choice was a staff, 5 smooth stones, which he picked up out of a brook, and a sling. And I could only imagine that the Israeli army, what they were thinking. Lord, Saul sent this poor boy to his death. Lord, he's getting ready to fight a man that's 9 feet tall, that has a sword and a shield and a spear, and all he's got is a stick and some rocks. Are you kidding me? But the Bible says when Goliath looked at David, he looked at him with disdain because he was but a youth, and he was ruddy and of a fair countenance. And he said, "Am I a dog that you should come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by his God and commenced to talk and jump. But David was not moved by his height. He wasn't moved by the threatening words or his suit of armor. People of God, when your feet is planted on a sure foundation and your soul is anchored in the Lord, you will not be moved. Little David looked up at him and said, "You come at me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come at thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the army of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I will smite thee and take your head off. And David served notice, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. This was not a threat. This was a promise. The word of God says it came to pass when the Philistines arose to meet David, that David ran towards him and put his hands in his bag, and he took out one of those stones and slung it, and the stone sunk into Goliath's forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. The Bible says, so David prevailed over Goliath with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood over Goliath and took his sword and slew him and cut off his head. When we consider all these things, David, in a sense, was considered to be the underdog because he had never fought in a war, and he did not have heavy armor. In this case, the Lord used unconventional means that was laughable to some, but in the end, that sling and one stone proved to be more effective than all that Goliath presented. Sometimes we think that the Lord has to do things in grandiose fashion, but the Lord's strategy was to target the weakness. The Philistine may have had a sword, spear, and a shield, but his forehead was wide open. The Lord caused Goliath to fall at the hands of David. And not only that, he destroyed him with his own weapon. David's unparalleled bravery is a testament of his faith and confidence in God. You can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might when you trust him. The Lord was David's supreme commander-in-chief that gave him a strategy. The Lord have a way of showing us that all that we think we need to get the victory in a battle, we don't really need, because when the Lord is on your side, he is the only thing that you will ever need. The Lord can bring down what we consider to be a giant, and it will not be by the power or the might of a mere man, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. People of God, in a time of war, we must have the right strategy. But first and foremost, you must know where your help lies. It is time for all nations to draw closer to God and acknowledge him for who he is. There are some tough roads ahead of us, and right now, you don't even understand the full impact. In reality, if you are worldly and selfishly absorbed in what matters to you, then you could care less. But as events unfold, the time will come when all nations will be brought to their knees, and maybe then will the rebellious listen. We are now in a place where there is nowhere in the world that has not been affected by evil. Evil presents itself in many forms, and the source and the root of evil emanates from the father of it. When the adversary sows evil seeds in the heart and mind of individuals, and that seed is not uprooted, they will grow into monstrous human beings. These are the people that are ultimately under his control. Don't think for one moment that Russia is the only nation with a monster on their hand. There are politicians right now in the United States of America sitting in the seat of government that admire Putin and think just like him because they have kindred spirits. Prayer warriors, get on your prayer posts and stay there. And you better tell the devil, not on my watch. The Lord gave his people the power to rebuke and to bind. And we don't have to wait for the Lord to do what he has given us the authority to do. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Since we are in a spiritual war, what is the strategy? Jesus said in Mark 3:27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except they first bind the strong man. The first step is to bind the demonic spirits in order to subdue them. The war is in the spirit, and prayer is the warfare part of what we do. Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's time for the saints of God to work the power that is already in them. Amen. In conclusion, soldiers, don't be at ease. Your prayers will be instrumental in bringing down the giants that we face. The strategy needed in this war is, one, to have faith in God. Two, pray in faith, believing that God will bring us through. Three, use the authoritative name of Jesus to bind demonic activity in the atmosphere. And four, target your prayers. Be direct, specific, and to the point. In 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, the Lord gave Solomon a sure remedy when facing calamity, and the same is applicable today. He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We need much healing in our land on today. Praise God. And people of God, we have our assignment. We have our work cut out for us. Amen. We are the sentinels left here in this earth to call upon the name of the Lord. And not just to call them, amen, but to know in whom we believe and to stand on the word of God. And at that, I say amen. Amen and amen. This is the word of the Lord for today. Amen.